Hi, welcome to Skip's Corner, where I cover Nashville's baseball history and events and introduce you to players, coaches, and other fans.
I usually record my podcasts on Saturday or Sunday evening, and I'm glad this time that I waited until Sunday for a couple of reasons. One, today, July the 31st, is the 96th birthday of Joe Casey. Now, Joe Casey was a beloved public servant, served for the Metro Nashville Police Department as its chief for many years. And after sending out some notes asking others to send him happy birthday wishes, the news came that he'd actually passed away. Star Herman, one of his daughters, I had talked to her several times, and she told me that he passed peacefully and that the hospice nurse who was there said, "Do you know how unusual that is for someone to pass away on their birthday?" Well, Joe was a special person in our family, and I'd like to tell you a little bit about him. Not only was he a beloved public servant, but did you know he was also a talented amateur and professional baseball player? He joined Nashville's police force on November the 5th, 1951, and for the next 38 years was with the department. He served all ranks of the police before becoming chief in 1973, a position he held for 16 years until 1989. He was a strong influence, known for taking law enforcement seriously, and at his retirement celebration on August the 31st, 1989, he let his heart tell how he cared for those around him. "I've got mixed emotions about this," he told Tennessean staff writer Cynthia Floyd. "I'm walking away from 38 years of my life. About 90% of this department I've either promoted or hired. You get close to people. They're like your family." He has served as president of the Tennessee Association of Chiefs of Police 7 different times and is a former president of the International Association of Chiefs of Police. And the West Precinct building at 5500 Charlotte Pike is named the Chief Joe D. Casey Building in his honor. Those who knew him before his career in law enforcement know what a great athlete he was. Not only did he play in amateur leagues for CMI under Tom Page — I've heard him talk about Tom Page, my dad played for Tom Page also — and he, like my dad, attended North High School. Chief Casey lettered in 6 sports and was named to the All-City Baseball team in 1945. And 1946, he was the only unanimous choice. Now get this, his pitching record for those 2 years was 23 wins and 1 loss. And on top of that, he had 5 no-hitters. Most of his wins were shutouts, and his one loss was to Hume Fogg by a 1-0 score. During one of his no-hitters against Father Ryan, he won 4-0 by retiring 20 consecutive batters. And after the game, the late Edgar Allen wrote in the Nashville Banner that it was the most dominating pitching performance he had ever witnessed. And here's what he said: "Big Joe Casey was the reason for the victory. North's fourth of the spring, the lanky 19-year-old fastballing right-hander hurled perhaps the best game in interscholastic history as he set the Irish down without a hit and was within one strike of Nashville's first perfect game for a prep hurler. Using a sidearm fastball with dazzling speed, Casey fanned 17 of the 22 batters to face him, 20 consecutive Panthers until Richard Kirk walked with 2 out in the 7th. At that, he had the count 2 strikes, 1 ball on the Ryan center fielder before allowing him to reach first on 4 balls." During one of my visits with Joe Casey, I sat down with him in his Donaldson home and asked him what he remembers about that game. You see, our dad, Virgil Nipper, my brother and I have heard these stories all of our lives. And Dad had come in from second base to catch as regular catcher Buck Pardue had to leave the game after splitting his index and middle fingers from one of Casey's pitches. I knew the background from Dad, but the man who once stood 6'4" at 187 pounds during his playing days, and although at that time he was a little bent over and a little slower, he was still a towering figure, but he had a specific memory of that game. He said, "I should have had a perfect game. The count was 3-2 on the 21st batter, and I threw a strike. I don't know why the umpire called it a ball, but he did. It was the only batter to reach base on me because I struck the next one out. Now, not many know he had a 5-year minor league baseball career. He signed a professional contract after high school with the Boston Braves and played for Clarksville in 1946 and Owensboro in 1947, both in the Kitty League. Played for Hartford in the Eastern League in 48 and 49 and Denver in the Western League in 49 and 50. Where his spring training teammates included Warren Spahn and Lou Burdett. But he hurt his arm in Austin, Texas during an exhibition game with the University of Texas. Spahn was to have started, he said, and pitched the first 3 innings. Burdett was to pitch the next 3, and I was supposed to come in to pitch the last 3. Burdett told the manager he was not ready, so I went in to begin the 4th and pitched the rest of the way. I hurt my arm, and do you know what they did to make it better? They sent me off to have my adenoids and appendix removed. Can you believe that? You know, I talked to him a little later about that after our banquet in January, our old-timers banquet, we had Tommy John. And I said, what would have happened had you had Tommy John surgery back in those days? And he said, gosh, I may have had a major league career and never have become a police chief. And he said after 5 years, he told Jewel, his wife, that after 5 years, if he hadn't made it to the big leagues, it was time to come home, and he did. But at home, he continued to play ball. He played for the Nashville Vols, which not only was a minor league baseball team, was also the name of a professional basketball team in the Southern Basketball Association. And he picked up on his baseball career in local leagues. In 1951, Joe Casey pitched for DuPont, which captured the City League championship. And at the end of the season, the company sent the team to New York. One of the side trips was to the Polo Grounds, where the team attended the playoff game between the Brooklyn Dodgers and the New York Giants on October the 3rd, 1951. It was the playoffs to determine the National League champion. When Bobby Thompson hit that home run to win the game to send the Giants to the World Series, he told me, the ball landed just a few rows in front of us in left field. I wonder whatever happened to that ball. Well, the last time I saw him was 2 weeks ago today. When I told him that I had had a discussion with someone just a few days earlier about that ball game, and that the word was that a couple of nuns had gotten that ball and one of them took it home and kept it. And when she died, the family took the ball and threw it out the window, I guess going to her funeral or something. And that's the story of that baseball. And when I said that, now this is 2 weeks ago, he looked at me and he said, when we were sitting at that ball game, there were 2 nuns sitting 3 rows down below us. So there's that great connection. And even just 2 weeks before he passed, he had that kind of a memory that I could just say the words nuns. And he connected that to that time that he was in that ballpark at Polo Grounds in 1951 when Bobby Thompson's home run hit just a few rows in front of him. And maybe one of those 2 nuns that were sitting 3 rows down was able to get that ball. It was that year, 1951, that Joe Casey joined the police department. He was a turnkey at the jail for 2 weeks before being assigned to the patrol division. He became a detective in 1962, earning a promotion to sergeant and then inspector. 16 months later, he became a major in the patrol division, and when Chief Hugh Mott resigned in 1973, he was named chief. 1951 was also the year the police team became a charter member of Nashville's Babe Ruth League. And after managing Johnny Beasley's Falstaff City League team for 4 years while also pitching, he managed the amateur youth police team from the mid-1950s until 1962. In 1959, he coached the Babe Ruth All-Star team to the World Tournament in Stockton, California, the first Nashville amateur baseball team to compete for a national championship. And along with his professional duties with Metro Nashville, he was a basketball official for 23 years at the junior high school, and college level, and was inducted into the TSSAA Hall of Fame in the officials category in 2008. Born on July 31st, 1926, he is of Irish descent and was an active member of Parkway Baptist Church. When he was named to the Old Timers Nashville Amateur Baseball Hall of Fame in 2009, our dad gave his introduction, and he said, this year's Hall of Fame inductee is Joe Casey. I deem this a special treat for me to introduce him to you. I've known Joe for 71 years. As boys, we played stickball in the middle of 14th Avenue. Joe could throw so hard we could not hit him with a broomstick. Sometimes we used the entire broom and still had a hard time hitting the ball. Now, my brother Jim and I have heard stories about Dad's great teammate all of our lives. They grew up across the street from each other, and with eight brothers and sisters, the Nipper supper table was already cleared when Dad would come home after practice. And Dad would say, "There were times when I wouldn't have had a hot meal for supper if it hadn't been for Mrs. Casey." As Dad told about them playing stickball in the middle of the street at 14th Avenue, Uncle Joe told me about he and Dad playing marbles. They played marbles a lot. And on one side of their yard, the Casey's yard, was nothing but dirt because they played marbles there so much. Their connection was so strong that they played outside all the time. And I guess that's what you did in those days. And my Aunt Connie, Dad's sister, told me just the other day that her mother told her that Mrs. Casey and she and Dad's mom would crochet together under the streetlight while the children were playing in the yard. It was a special relationship. And Aunt Connie said, "We considered Joe Casey a member of our family." When Dad died in 2016, Chief Casey called me and he said he would not mind if I started calling him Uncle Joe, since he was boyhood pals with Dad and had heard all the stories about me and my brother and my family, just like we had heard about him. And so it's been Uncle Joe ever since, and I'm proud to be a member of his family that way. It's a great family, for he was a great public servant, a great athlete, a valued teammate, and coach to many, and an upstanding citizen. And he is well deserving of all accolades. And if the good Lord allows it, I'm sure that Dad and Uncle Joe are having a game of catch, or maybe just playing a game of marbles. To his family, Star and Karen Joe and Mike, thank you for sharing your dad with me. And I know there are so many others that call him friend. I'm just glad that I'm able to have called him Uncle Joe, and I'll miss him. Thank you for listening in. If you want to contact me, you can email me at 262downright@gmail.com. I'm grateful, and I hope you listen in again.